Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. On today's show, we're talking about immigration, migration, deportation, and human lives. Earlier this week, I had a conversation with Juan. He's a Mexican and lived in Austin, Texas from the age of 5 until the age of 27, when he was deported back to Mexico. Juan entered illegally with his family at the age of 5, and clearly he didn't have the capacity to make that decision for himself at that age. He speaks perfect English. He had a job in Austin, Texas, and he was a full contributing member of the community. He had both family and friends in Austin. One day, he was driving on the highway and got pulled over by a police officer for an aggressive lane change. He lacked the proper documentation. That started a chain of events that resulted in 3 nights in a prison cell before being deported back to Mexico. Juan is barred from re-entering the U.S. for 10 years. He can reapply to come into the country properly, but only after that waiting period. For some who entered the U.S. without the proper documentation, they have 1 year to get their documentation in order. And if they do get their paperwork in order, they can stay. After that, on that 1 year deadline, they have to wait 10 years before they can apply to enter the U.S. Movement of people is increasingly a primary source of demand for real estate. People move within boundaries and through boundaries. We see people moving from the northern states to the southern states. We see people moving within the U.S. from high-tax jurisdictions to low-tax jurisdictions. People move for employment or lifestyle, or seeking better living conditions. Between nations, immigration should follow the rules of the country when it comes to becoming a permanent resident. The number of people traversing the U.S. southern border is averaging between 5,000 to 6,000 per day. That's a huge number. They're coming from all over the world, not just Mexico or Central America, as was previously the norm. Those who are seeking asylum from persecution should be able to find sanctuary somewhere in the world. That's basic human rights. My family escaped World War II and came into the U.S. through Ellis Island. Millions, including my grandparents, were not so lucky. My wife works directly with the refugee population as they're preparing for their refugee board hearings, and the vast majority of her clients are those who are legitimately fleeing persecution. If they're merely coming for economic reasons, that's not usually enough to qualify as a conventional refugee. But if they're fleeing persecution for political, religious, sexual reasons, and a whole long list of others, they might have a legitimate claim for asylum. There's 14 million people who have fled the war in the Ukraine. That's nearly a third of the population. Most have settled in Europe, but a lot have come to North America as well. There are legitimate refugees from Syria, Afghanistan, Nigeria, Sudan, Chad, and countless other nations. Most Western nations need immigration just to maintain population. Maintaining population is essential for economic growth. Shrinking population causes systemic economic recession. Only need to look at Japan to see that happening. The fact is that the entire debate has become so intensely partisan that it's become virtually impossible to get the truth about what's happening. We need to distinguish between immigration and migration. There's no question that many people who have walked all the way from Brazil to the United States have endured tremendous hardship. They have chosen to undertake a journey that very few on the planet would ever even consider. They risk being mugged, sexually assaulted, kidnapped into human trafficking. There's so many perils along that route. But these are people, just like your neighbors down the street. They come from all walks of life. Some are completely uneducated and coming from rural villages, and many are also highly educated with multiple degrees. Every country has the right to decide who they allow into the country and who they don't. Initially, immigrants face economic hardship while they do become established. These people have endured the hardship of fleeing their homeland. Most become hardworking contributors to the society and, in fact, contribute disproportionately to the culture, to the community, and the economy. Now, Juan says he's committed to coming back to the U.S. the right way. He's got friends that offered to help him get back into the country illegally and have offered him accommodations. But he's refused that offer. He wants to respect the law. He's got 4 years remaining before he can apply. He's lived the majority of his life in Austin, and he's culturally American in every way. I hope he gets back in. Juan's story is one of millions. He's a statistic. But he's also a real person with real dreams and real aspirations. I wouldn't be here today if my parents hadn't been one of the lucky ones to cross the Atlantic by ship in 1939. As you think about that, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.